Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Before and after every NHPR fund drive, we ask ourselves whether the traditional model is the best way to raise awareness, excitement, and the financial support for the services we provide. News organizations and media companies all face questions of how to best reach new audiences using quickly evolving technology. That inquiry led us to Roman Mars. He's creator and host of 99% Invisible. It's an independent radio podcast about design and architecture that's been downloaded more than 3 million times since launching in late 2010. To fund the show's third season, Roman is appealing to listeners through the crowdfunding site Kickstarter. Less than 2 weeks in, he's far exceeded his goal and is up to over $100,000. That's enough money to hire a part-time employee, add video content, and increase the number of episodes per season. So we're going to talk to Roman about his funding model and what it could mean for public radio fundraising. But first, the product, an episode of 99% Invisible. This is episode 18, Check Cashing Stories.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
Keeping money in a savings account where it earns interest is logical.
Let's pretend you've never been to a bank before. Douglas McGray is going to be our guide.
You walk through the door, you see the red carpeting, you see someone in a suit there maybe greeting you, you see some ferns, you know, a nice row of professional-looking people in suits behind the counter.
You don't really see what it is they offer.
Chances are if you walk into the bank, you look around, you're not going to see a lot of services or prices. You have to kind of know what you want going in there.
Or you have to talk with someone to help you figure it out.
If you think about it, almost like it's like if you went to a restaurant, and there's no menu on the door, and you walk inside, and like instead of giving you a menu, they ask sort of, what do you want? And you go, Italian? And then you have a conversation about what they could provide and the 17 different sauces they could offer and all the different shapes of pasta. A reasonable person might think like it'd be kind of nice to have a menu.
Doug McGray is a journalist.
My name is Douglas McGray. I'm a fellow at the New America Foundation, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Pop-Up Magazine.
And a couple of years ago, he wrote a story about check cashers and payday lenders, which McGray is quick to point out these are different services. Check cashing is when you have a check, it's made out to you.
You go in with a check, you leave with cash.
Minus a 3% fee or so. And payday lending is when you don't have any money. So you write the payday lender a check.
For $350 and you get $300 and they cash it in 2 weeks.
Those are the much more problematic transactions if you happen to think charging 400% interest is bad for the working poor. But McGray found that for better or worse,
you know, I think it's mostly for worse,
these places are here to stay. What may surprise you, though, if you have the same visceral reaction that I used to have to them,
if it's a person who's used to going to banks, they're going to think they're a little bit grimy,
is that these check cashing stores, even with their problems,
the fees are too high. I can't say that enough. You know, the fees are, most of them are too high.
May teach banks something about using design to better serve a wider range of customers. The absence of the bank-like trappings, plush carpeting, ferns, big desks, suits, they're missing for a reason. When Doug McGray went on a tour of a branch with Tom Nix, who at the time was the owner of the largest chain of check cashing stores in Southern California, Nix pointed out the design choices he made.
You know, he pointed out the linoleum floor. And he said, you know, if you go into a bank, you're going to see a carpeted floor. And say a guy is coming off of his construction shift, he's in his work boots. If he walks across the carpeted floor, he's going to feel like a jerk. I don't know if he's right or wrong, but it was an interesting point. And it was a conscious choice. You know, they would not put down carpeting.
Nix also worked really hard to make his places seem just like retail.
It reminds me a lot of a corner store, only instead of selling chips and soda and stuff like that, it's financial services.
And everyone patronizes and is welcome at a corner store, rich and poor. And you know what everything costs.
One of the most important things, maybe the most important thing, at this chain of check cashers, and you'll see this at a lot of them, there was a big list of prices on the wall. And it was all really straightforward. And the prices were, for the most part, the prices were too high. But you weren't going to wonder what something was going to cost. You weren't going to wonder what they could do for you. And when I talked to people who chose to go to check cashers, a lot of them had had a bank at one point. They signed up for some free checking account, but then all of a sudden they had these fees and they would like read these statements that were pages long and they couldn't figure out why they were getting charged what they were getting charged.
Plus, you aren't paralyzed by the vast number of options available to you.
If you go to your bank, chances are, you know, they'll have like five different savings accounts. They'll have five different checking accounts. They'll have all these investment accounts. They'll have college savings accounts. You know, it's a research project. It's hard to figure out which one is right for you.
And I, for one, always seem to leave with the feeling that I picked the wrong one.
The check cashers and payday lenders, they'll have a bunch of different services, but there will only be one of each. So you can cash your checks, and it costs this much. You can wire money to your family in another country, and it costs this much. It's all designed to be really simple.
Let's pretend you've never been to a bank before.
I think some banks are realizing that their cookie-cutter suburban branch, you know, they can't drop it down and have it work everywhere. You know, it's one thing if you opened a bank account with your parents when you were 8 years old and you've been going there forever and all the weirdness of a bank, the no prices and the pamphlets and the ferns, like all the stuff that's kind of strange about a bank when you think about it, it's just normal because that's what a bank is. Well, if you don't know what a bank is, if it's not normal, then maybe it's weird.
99% Invisible was produced by me, Roman Mars, with support from Lunar.
And that was Check Cashing Stores, an episode from Roman Mars' uber-popular podcast, 99% Invisible. Roman joins us now to tell us more about his campaign to fund a third season of the show. Roman, congratulations and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, this title, 99% Invisible, you came up with it long before the 99% joined the American vernacular. What does it mean to you?
It's kind of all about the thought that goes on behind design so that the object itself is only 1% of all the thought and ingenuity that is going on behind the scenes. That's
like,
the idea.
Like the uber popular radio program Radiolab, you put an awful lot of emphasis, and we could hear that, these high quality sound rich audio production, you know, lots of music effects. Do you think the straight up interview format or call in has limited appeal for younger audiences?
Not at all. I just like, I love audio. I love radio. I listen to hours and hours of it a day. And I just like a variety of it. And this is just the type I like to make because I'm interested in the sort of art form of information and how you present it in a beautiful way. But I love to listen to just people talking. I love the sound of people's voices. That's what draws me to this from the beginning.
More than 3 million downloads. It's a pretty wide variety, but do you know anything about the sort of demographic it's downloading your podcast?
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to pay somebody to research that, and I have no ability to do that. But, you know, it's mainly the United States. There's a bunch of people all over the world. I hear from people all over, but, the online sort of podcast crowd is slightly more narrow demographic than probably what's the radio, but I don't know for specifics.
And those kind of audience demographics, that's something that you get, well, a lot of stations have access to. And you, you don't have access to being associated or regularly heard on a station with an infrastructure and production studios and editorial staff and, you know, a built-in audience that supports programs through listener contributions. So how have you financed the podcast so far?
Well, I mean, even though most people know it as a podcast, it really started as a public radio show. So it's a segment on KLW Public Radio in San Francisco. And so they're really the source of it. They really got me going. I collaborated with them and the American Institute of Architects in San Francisco and started making the thing. And then it just sort of took off as a podcast. And because it became so popular as a podcast, the constraints of being on the radio, which were at the time... I was in the C block of Morning Edition, which is 4.5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And when I went on to be a podcast, I began to release a version of it that was slightly longer because it was always something that I cut out from the piece that I was going to put on Morning Edition. And so it got longer and longer and longer. And the last episode I did was 18 minutes long. And the one I turned in for KLW was still 4.5 minutes long.
The piece we just heard, by the way, was 4.5 minutes long. Right.
Yeah, that was one of the early ones when I wasn't making two, like
but,
a chump.
So now you've actually turned to Kickstarter, right? And in your video, you're saying you want to do nothing less than create a new model for creating innovative public radio. But there are lots of similarities we hear between Kickstarter-style crowdfunding campaigns and public radio fund drives, you know, although you're not offering tote bags or coffee mugs. What does this direct-to-listener model offer that the public radio funding model doesn't?
Well, I mean, I think the public radio funding model is pretty direct to listeners. I think it's a really close analog. What you're really doing with a Kickstarter is nothing hugely different. What you're, I mean, this isn't just like I've fundraised on public radio stations for, you know, a dozen years, and you're usually not making the case of why, because people who listen to the fund drive, they know why they listen to public radio. And when they're listening during the fund drive, they literally have nothing else better to listen to if they're listening during the fund drive. And so you need to make the case of why now. And so with Kickstarter, it really gives a compelling case of why now, because rather than getting the sort of little bits of PayPal donations here and there, everyone sees this collective action that's sort of awesome and amazing to watch it, you know, watch the numbers accrue. And when you reach the cross that threshold, you know that something is funded and that your donation really matters. And that's the part of Kickstarter that I think is really innovative. And that's where it's worked for me.
We're talking with Roman Mars. He's creator and host of 99% Invisible. It's an extremely popular independent radio podcast about design and architecture, and it's available from the PRX website. Roman turned to Kickstarter to fund the program's third season with a goal of $40,000. He's now have well over $100,000 in pledges. I guess, Roman, what I mean about that direct-to-listener model is this is a part of a big conversation for local public radio mm-hmm. stations, you know, the traditional source for listeners to access public radio programs like, you know, Radiolab or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These are produced by other local stations and become part of the mm-hmm. network. So what happens to local stations if each individual show makes its appeal to listeners as a pay-per model, like pay $1 each time you listen or, you know, help us fund the next season? I guess that's what I'm wondering about, where the local station fits in.
Right. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, especially in the cases of those national models, I do think that there's more to go around, and I think that there's more outside of the radio listening that is going on, and so people want to pay through the method in which they access the program. In my case, one of them, the things that drove me to Kickstarter was that I had a lot of international people who said they wanted to pledge to the show. And so I was thinking about doing a cell phone thing or whatever. And this was a way that people from Ireland or Australia could do it. And I think that there's more money to support content out there. You know, I think that still needs to evolve and sort of how to be, you know, needs to be worked out. I'm from a, you know, even though I work out of my house, like I'm historically from a station. I love my station. I fundraise for my station. And so I would hate for a station to suffer because we're, you know, because my show is appealing directly to an audience. It just so happens that my show is on one station. And so there's not much of an issue.
Well, coming from a local station and someone who loves producing radio, I'm with you on that one. And I really want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And good luck on your campaign. Sounds like it's doing gangbusters. Roman Mars is creator, producer, and host of 99% Invisible. You can find links to his Kickstarter campaign and listen to the podcast from the PRX page. You can also read an article about the future of crowd-funded public radio. As he says, a lot more people to choose from. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, if you're thinking about starting your own Kickstarter campaign, we have found some clues and revealed some elements to crowdfunding success. You'll hear that when Word of Mouth continues. Stay with us.